Right, so today we're continuing our series on 1 Corinthians 13, and we're looking at what characterizes the love of God. And we are on this sentence today, a very simple sentence, but we're going to unpack for us what it means. But love does not envy. Love does not envy. So that's what I'm looking at this morning. So, what does it mean to be envious? Actually, being envious is desiring something that someone else has. It's being discontented and resentful of not having what somebody else has. Yes, everybody's clear on that. Envy is actually the opposite of contentment. And it is focusing on what you don't have. So you discontented with what you have. Do you know that there's actually 51 verses in the Bible that speaks about envy? 51! Okay? It's quite a lot of verses, because have you noticed, often God focuses on the issues of the heart. Have you noticed that? So in the Bible, he speaks a lot about pride, bitterness, envy, you know. You can barely find a verse about smoking, you know, or you know what I mean. Some behavior are not like black and white named in the Bible, but God is really interested in the issue of the heart. And guess what? In Mark 7, verse 21, it says, from the heart comes evil thoughts, and then the sinful behavior. So that's not a surprise that God is interested in the issues of the heart. And you see, envy is an issue of the heart. There's a lot of story in the Bible of envy. And it does not always end up really well. I would say actually a lot of time it ends up really badly. So for example, you have Saul, who is envious of David's popularity. So he hunts him down to kill him, you know? You have King Ahab, who actually murdered Naboth for his land. You have David, who sent Uriah to war in the objective of taking his wife. Those are issues of envy, okay? You have Cain. I don't know my pronunciation of words of name, by the way, but I'm sure you can guess. Cain, who murdered Abel because he's jealous that God's favor his brother's offering. You have issues of envy all over the pages of the Bible. And actually, those so end up really in murder, stealing, adultery, you know, they end up in big things. But most of the time, I would say, envy is actually a relationship spoiler for me. So you might say, oh no, that's not me, I'm never going to kill for that, you know. But envy is a relationship spoiler. You know, actually, that's not in the Bible, but Oprah Winfrey, she said, you know, you can't be friends with someone who wants your life. You just cannot be friends because they're envious of you. And the relationship is not good, okay? Think about it. It takes an incredible character to love someone and rejoice at their success without a hint of envy. Think about it. So envy is everywhere. You can envy your brother. In your family, you can envy somebody who's doing better. You can envy your brother and sister at church. You can envy your neighbor. You can envy at work, okay? And guess what? God is calling us to love. And love is without envy. So to do so, we've got to look at our hearts. That's what we have to do. So if envy, I'm going to just change mine. If envy was a tree, right? I would say the core of envy is your selfish desire. That's the core of envy. I've got to have, I want to get, I am more than, I want more possession, I want to be better, I want more fame, I want to look better than. I think the core of envy is really selfish desire. And envy takes root in our heart where when there is deep dissatisfaction and insecurity. And sometimes the fear of lack. That's how envy comes in. And then the fruit, the outward behavior, I would say, that's creating bitterness. And we see potentially anger, jealousy, and things like that. So let's look at the roots of envy and how does it work. When our heart is not satisfied, okay, it's often because it's preoccupied by the wrong source of fulfillment.
Great.
Yes? Thank you. So what we do is we drink at the wrong fountain. I'm so glad we did fountain this morning. We drink at the wrong fountain and it's not quenching our thirst. We are preoccupied by other sources and therefore we are not fulfilled. So I repeat, when our heart is not satisfied, it's often because it's preoccupied by the wrong source of fulfillment. Okay? So we're looking at other things to fill us up. What happens is progressively, God's love is becoming not so much of an anchor. And then our heart gets distracted by all sorts of desire. And then we start to feel a void because those things, those desires, will never satisfy our heart. So therefore, we try to fill a void. Okay? We start to look around rather than to look up. So that's where comparison comes in or entitlement comes in. Why have I got that? Why is it that I'm working so hard and I haven't got that? It's not fair. Yeah? I'm suffering and I'm sacrificing for God, and God, you haven't answered my prayer. That's not fair. God, what are you doing? You see what I'm saying? So we start to look around rather than look up and say, God, I've got a need. Please answer my prayer. And we compare. And then envy can say, I wish it was easier for me. I wish I had, yeah? Often with envy, I think as well, there's a fear of lack, you know, because what's happening is we can't quite believe there is enough to go around. So we think if my brother and my sisters are blessed, oh, I'm not getting blessed. That means, or somehow we think that God blessing other people, there's less for us to be blessed. This is the human, that's human thinking, because we think that resources are finite. So it's obvious, you have two sweets. If the other person has the two sweets, you don't get one, humanly speaking. But your father is not like that. He has infinite resources. So envy works with a fear of lack as well and not trusting that God can provide. Okay? All these manifestations of our insecurities and all these dissatisfactions come from an orphan's heart. It comes from you being disconnected from love and from God, because God is love. So you're disconnected from a loving Father, and yes, with your heart, no, I would say with your head. With your head, you might think, yeah, God is good, amen, all time. Yes? I've heard a lot of people say, it's an automatism. You say, God is good, and everybody say, all time. Yes, it's great if you believe it with your heart. And some people, it stops there. And basically, because they're disconnected with their heart, they don't believe deep down that God is good for them. They say, yeah, theoretically, I know God is good. I'm saying God is good. I'm singing God is good. But I'm struggling to believe he's going to be good for me, that he's going to come through for me. So what happens is you can get distracted and you could start to not believe that God will fulfill your heart's desire. Yeah. And basically what you do is you take matter in your own hand and you start to fulfill your own desire. The human heart, left to its device, will naturally envy. It will naturally envy. Okay? It's the natural thing. Now, when Corinthians 13 speaks about love does not envy, it's the same thing than saying that perfect love, in perfect love, there is full satisfaction and contentment. That's what it means. So you don't need to envy. Because you know what? Love does not want what it does not have. Love does not want what it does not have. And we have little experience of that on a human level. So anybody's been in love, or has been in love, or is in love, okay? Well, when you are besotted with someone, fallen head over heel, is that the expression? In love, right? You're not looking for someone else, right? You're like, yeah, it doesn't matter where we are, what we do, what we eat, you know, I just want to be with this person. You see what I'm saying? You do not want what you don't have when you are in love. So, in God's love, you are fully satisfied. Amen. Fully satisfied. Actually, it's funny, there is an expression in French who says, vivre d'amour et d'eau fraîche. Anybody speak French?
Yeah.
Yeah. Vivre d'amour et d'eau fraîche. So we say often in French, you know, when you love, you can live on love and fresh water. That's what it means. Vivre d'amour et d'eau fraîche. Ah, that's fine. No matter. Nothing matters. Yes? Okay? It's very, yeah, very French, right? So, pause there and think about the love of God. The perfect love of God. Okay? It's supernatural love that brings all contentment. You know, it's just amazing. One thing that always amazes me with God is the fact that there is no fear in His love.
Amen.
Because you know what? You can come as you are, because the punishment has been put on Jesus. And He sees you righteous. When you decide to follow Him, He sees you perfect even when you mess up. So you don't need to run away and hide. You know you need Him, and you just can come and be at peace with God. Nothing can separate us from His love. So, how amazing. There's another verse who I absolutely love. It's Psalm 103, verse 2 to 5. You know the beginning of the passage very well. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, right? Mm-hmm. But the following verses, He crowns you with love and compassion. He crowns you with love and compassion. And He satisfies your desire with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. So that's interesting, because you see, in God you will get, in His love you will get all satisfaction. But not only that, it doesn't mean that He forces you to live on fresh water. It still means that not only He loves you, but He knows your desire, and He will satisfy your desire with good things. I mean, notice, He will satisfy your desire with good things. Some of your desire, I'm really sorry, but they're probably rotten. So God not satisfying that desire is probably a very, very good thing for you. Yes? So notice, He will give you the desire of your heart and make you completely content and fulfilled. That the objective is that you are renew your youth and you fly and soar. He knows what you need. So can you see that His love turns you away from selfish desire? It doesn't mean you can't have, you know, we know some of these Christians say, I am Christian. I am completely dead inside now. I have no dreams. Don't you, Jesus. Have you met some of those Christians?
Yeah.
Yes. That's why Christianity doesn't go far sometimes. You should be the most joyful, the biggest dreamer on earth, the most contagious in your joy and your peace.
Amen.
Yes? Because He's going to fulfill your dream and your desire, the one that are good for you.
Yes.
Okay? So his love will bring security to you. You know? And what is amazing with God is, you know, we are all his favorites. We don't need to compare each other. We are all his favorites. Okay? And his love is not limited. So, and actually, there is this prayer of Paul in Ephesians 3, verse 17 and 18, who says, I pray that you understand how wide, how long, how deep his love is. That sounds like a song. Isn't it? How deep is your love? That's what I think straight away. But you get it right. It's not a love that is finite. There's no need to compare. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Your dream is important. Your desire is important. Every single one of us. And his resources are unlimited. And his love for us is unlimited. Unlimited. Okay? Isn't it a powerful thing to understand? Don't you think we live completely differently when we understand that? That changed my life. When this truth went from my head to my heart, that changed my life completely. Completely. Before I would say, oh, that's not fair. Why is this happening to me, God? Why is this happening to me? But now I'm like, no, I trust you. I know that that everything will come for good for those who... It's there again. Okay? Love will bring hope and assurance for us of better things to come. It's like we have this absolute solid confidence that he is a good father to us. Amen. We know because we know, not just there, but in our hearts. Okay? So the focus is away from I want, what can I do to get satisfied? No. It's now we love him and we love others and he takes care of us. Okay? So you see, when his love takes roots in our hearts, when our heart is connected to his heart by the spirit of adoption, the love of God is deposited in our heart. And what happened is that's the picture of a tree that I put there. What happened is healing comes to your heart by his love. And then you start to produce good fruit and good things will happen in your life. So if I know that he loves me and he's a good father, I know I can trust him. I know I'm safe in his hand. Therefore, the fruit is faith, is hope. Yeah? I will produce peace. I will produce joy. All the fruit of the Spirit. That means I will grow to have a prosperous soul. Yes? Isn't he amazing? When we know that God loves us, we are satisfied. And guess what? We start to overflow. Then we have more to give to others. The love of God, that's what helps us to expand our capacity to love him and others. It's this experience of the love of God. So I want to finish with this prayer. Okay. All right. It looks like my slide didn't change, did it? Did you see this slide?
No.
I'm sorry. I clicked, but it didn't change. And you know what? It doesn't matter. That's the slide. All right. So I just want to finish on this chapter, which is really, really powerful. It's this prayer in Ephesians 3 that Paul is praying over the people of Ephesians. And he purposely took the New Living Translation. So in your Bible, it might be slightly different. But because the wording of it really helped, I think. And this is the prayer. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with your inner strength through his Spirit. Everything is a work of the Spirit in us, in our hearts. That's how you receive the spirit of adoption. That's how you get connected to God. You cannot make yourself love God. No, you receive a revelation of his love and you love him in return. Right? So I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resource, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. How powerful is that? I love that picture, that Christ is in our heart and he's making himself at home, giving a chair and a cup of tea and make him stay. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Let him stay. Trust him to rearrange the furniture if needed. You see what I'm saying? Trust him that things will come in its time. Because he's got you, he's here for you. But what I love is the next bit is your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Okay, that was the picture of the tree. You know, his love, it comes in your heart. It makes it so in your heart. And then all the insecurity, you know, the furniture will get reorganized. Security will come, satisfaction will come, and good fruit will come. Can you see that? Yeah. So your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand. Here it says, as all God's people should. Other translations say, together with all the Lord's holy people. I think there's a dimension of the body of Christ together. You know, together, may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love. Whew. How about that? How about that? Wow. So I want to finish on that and just pray for this. You can just start to speak to God. Just engage your heart. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Okay? Decide to trust him to rearrange the furniture, to answer your prayer when he wants to and when, you know, when it's good for you. Decide to submit your selfish desire to him. Okay? Ask him for what pleases him. And decide that you, from now on, you will love God in return and ask a greater revelation of his love in your life. And I'm going to pray for that. Oh, Father, let us know that you love us, that you love us, that you love us, that your love is nothing like any other love we know. That is the source of all fulfillment and satisfaction. That your love made us secure, that your love is healing, that your love turns us away from envy, but turn us to you, God. We pray, Father, we pray, Holy Spirit, for a dynamic work in every one of our hearts, that we will be deeply, deeply, deeply rooted in your love, Jesus. So I declare that over you, that God will come and give you, even at this week as you're doing life, say, why he loves me? Why he loves me? That's amazing. I've never thought that could happen, but you love me, you got me, God. As I trust you, you opened that door. As I trust you, you know, I know this peace that walks with me. Even in the storm, I know this peace that's walking with me. I know this rock that I can stand on. And we pray for that. We pray for that, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you that you love us. You love us. We repent of any envy if there was some. Thank you that there's no condemnation in you. We just repent. We just change your mind. We change your mind, and we do not want to go after selfish desire, but we want to go after you, after your love, which is the source of all fulfillment. And we say, thank you, Jesus, that you are more than able. You are more than able. All people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.